Well, with YouTube celebrities, Facebook and Twitter and all the people who are becoming self-centered, narcissists, always looking for a thumbs up on more subscriptions, telling of how many followers they have, and then of course those that follow them, together they have a dysfunctional relationship. But today what I'd like to talk to you about is having a functional relationship, having good relationships, especially between brethren and others. And you know, this is ideal for us to understand and to hear and to adhere to, because we are in need of communication skills. And there are a variety of different ways we could talk about this, but I want to go into Scripture specifically and look at what it has to say, and we can maybe bring up some other things that can also help us to have better relationships. But Scripture is where the rubber meets the road. So let's go to Proverbs 15:1, where we have a tool of being, of giving a gentle answer. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Why? Well, it's because we want to be right. People believe that they're right, and we want to do our own thing, etc., etc. Joshua oftentimes gave a gentle but thought-provoking answer to questions that arose, which in turn deflated rather than instigated an argument. Sometimes he was more to the point with some of the Pharisees, but in general he gave compelling answers that were thought-provoking. Best not to say anything at times, even, than to get into a heated debate with someone about something that is fruitless to pursue. Joshua's own admonition of turning the other cheek can be applied symbolically in such cases, as well as his statement of doing to others as you would have them do unto you. Romans 12:15-19, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of Elohim. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says Yahweh. And we understand that it's not easy, and we sometimes fail to do what is right. So we take the steps to do better and grow. Many times a situation will come up again and again, and we learn from our mistakes, and it gives us ample time for practice. Other things we can do is to avoid confrontation altogether. This was the advice to those Joshua sent out to proclaim the good news. Matthew 10:14, whoever does not receive you, nor heed your words as you go out of that house or that city, shake the dust off your feet. Leave those who don't listen to proper instruction or don't want to listen or want to argue or fight about such things. In other words, don't spend a lot of time with unbelievers. Paul also told Titus basically the same thing in Titus 3:9 and other brethren in Rome. Romans 16:17, now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching. And we can insert doctrine here in teaching. And I looked up in the Dictionary of Biblical Languages. They give doctrine as an alternative word or synonym for this word teaching, which you learn and turn away from them. So what is Paul doing here? Why is Paul teaching this? Well, he's teaching this to help. In fact, if you would, turn into Ephesians 4. I didn't put this up here, but I wrote it as a side note because I want to address this a little bit. In Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. Yep. after Galatians. Ephesians 4, 6, 11 verses through 16. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Well, this is referred to as a fivefold ministry. The apostle Paul was an apostle. He is an apostle defined as one who has seen the risen Messiah and has been sent. Now, we can't really have that title today, so this would be more of a fourfold ministry for us, in the sense that there are going to be prophets, those who are inspired to speak with utterances and insight given from Yahweh. There are going to be some that are evangelists, sharing the good news of the Messiah and preaching the word of the kingdom. There's going to be pastors that are taking care of brethren, helping with the work, teachers as well. Teachers, of course, the Apostle Paul said that he was an apostle and a teacher. He told this to Timothy. But I think he was also a prophet because he was inspired and he talked about prophetic things that ultimately Yahweh inspired him to speak. And he was an evangelist and he went to the Jews. Well, the Jews first, initially at least, but then he went to the Gentiles with the news of Messiah, with the news of obedience, because he himself was considered blameless. And so he lived the way, and we find that way is Yahweh's way. But as we go down here, it says in verse 12, answering the question, what is Paul doing, talking to the Romans about, urging them to keep their eye on those who cause dissension, hindrances, contrary to the teachings or the doctrines which they learned, turn away from them. What is he doing? He's teaching them and equipping them for the work. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Messiah. So this brings us all into the idea of, we're to build one another up. We're to be of service to one another. We are to reach out as a body to the world. And this was the process. Yahweh provided teachers, evangelists, pastors, prophets, and so on. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of Yahweh to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Messiah. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men. How important is this now with all these different teachings out in the world? All these religious people claiming to have the truth, teaching strange things from the pulpit. We're to discern. We are to have discernment concerning that. If Scripture isn't lining up with what they're saying, then there may be a problem. Elder Lionel down in South Africa just related that in Europe there was a study or a survey done of the churches over there of Christians, and a full 95% admitted that they've never really read the Bible. So how can they tell if they're being lied to or not? And this is a problem I think we see even here in America with brethren, with people. I should say with people in general, not being able to discern right from wrong. Hate to call everyone brethren because ultimately, unless they're in Messiah and are doing the Father's will, they're more or less so-called brethren, as Paul would refer to them as, not really doing Yahweh's will and being more hypocritical than not. In verse 15 of Ephesians 4, but speaking the truth and love, we are to grow up in all aspects of him who is the head, even Messiah, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part because of the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So love is a key factor. Without love, we can't really continue because we need to have love for the Father first and foremost, then love for one another so that we can be in unity, so that we can do what is right in Yahweh's sight. You know, here in Romans 16, 17, let's read this again. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions, hindrances, contrary to the teaching which you learn, and turn away from them. Turning away is a quick fix to an otherwise useless endeavor. Sometimes we have to ask people to leave because they cause division, they cause hindrances, especially when it comes to teaching different doctrines. And we were talking about this morning. Some have come in wanting to teach a different name for the Messiah. Some have wanted to come in and teach that Paul's writings were not to be accepted. Some have taught that we should have leavened bread for Passover. There's just a number of things that aren't acceptable according to Yahweh's word. And so we have to be careful. We have to be humble. And we have to be loving. But we can't put up with ecumenical type ways. And that's, you know, for the body, that's important. The body should be worshiping in spirit and in truth. Loving one another, loving the Father, and being at peace. But there's not peace when there's different strange doctrines. And, as Paul addressed the assemblies that he was building up, he warned them. You know, he told Titus, he told Timothy, you know, deal with those that would teach strange doctrines. Don't allow such things to happen. And we know that Yahshua himself referred to the Pharisees' teachings as leavened. They have a process of going in and doing damage, and that harms the brethren. And Paul understood his responsibility. He didn't want the brethren harmed. He wanted them in a working, functioning ability to help not only share the word, but within the body to clarify things, to make sure that the things were okay and working as a body is to work. Matthew 18, 4 through 6. Whoever then humbles himself as a child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Pretty serious. And this is one reason we have to be careful. We have to be gentle. But we have to be wise as serpents in doing the things that we're called to do. Be humble, but don't cause others to stumble. This goes back to Proverbs and giving a soft answer, as it would be expected that one who is humble would indeed give a soft answer. And sometimes, you know, our upbringing is such that our history kind of makes us who we are. Now, when we come and we accept the Messiah and we receive of the Spirit, it does help us. I remember times for myself when I would have normally have been pretty upset, but I could sense Yahweh's Spirit kind of keeping the fire down so that I wouldn't get too excited about the situation that was occurring. But we have emotions. We have struggles, and I think Paul struggled with the flesh in the sense of his own angers and dealings at times. He realized that he wasn't perfect, and we realize, I realize that, and I'm not perfect, and that we need things to go a little bit better in the sense of what we're doing. So the idea of growing and maturing in Messiah is extremely important. But in all this, Yahweh's Spirit helps us. helps us to overcome. Causing one to stumble often occurs when false doctrines are allowed to come in and spread. They cause brethren to stumble when taught. Joshua, in context, spoke about this when using the children as an example. All that he came for, that is, the children of Israel. And we need to be aware when speaking to those outside, because they may soon be inside. Colossians 4, 5 through 6. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. In other words, choose your words carefully. This is one of the keys to having good relationships. James 1:19 through 20. This so you know, my beloved brethren, that everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of Elohim. Swift to hear, slow to speak. Proverbs 10, verse 19 says, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. And I'm sure we've dealt with people in school and in our work in which they talk a lot and they also get into trouble. They tend to gossip, talkers do. But they have their own faults even when pointing to others. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 11, women must be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Well, women nor men are to be malicious gossips, or gossips in general, period. There are times when things must be spoken, but it's best to even keep those times at a minimum. And reading something like this, I wonder if Paul had sisters, because, you know, there's something to be learned, I think, in family with sisters and also brothers. Proverbs 11, verse 13. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. So a friend is not a gossip. Joshua calls us friends if we serve Yahweh. And there are some strong warnings not to slander others. Psalms 101, verse 5. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. No one who has a haughty look or an arrogant heart will I endure. Now, this is King David speaking. We know that, you know, he had a heart after Yahweh. He was a man with bloody hands because of the wars that he went into, the numbers of people that he dealt with. So he's writing here. He's not going to deal with those with an arrogant heart and haughty look. And Yahweh's not going to deal with such among us either. But here we go with Isaiah 58, verse 9. Then you will call, and Yahweh will answer. And you will cry. He will say, here I am, if you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, and the speaking wickedness. Condition placed on the peoples, a condition placed upon us, and with us there are things we're told to do. Matthew 5, 23 through 24. If you are presented with offerings, or if you present, excuse me, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before you go to the altar. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. And this is something you do in person. This, you know, writing emails, text, are difficult in expressing emotion, and they can oftentimes be misunderstood. Reconcile with a brother or sister if you've done something wrong, then make the offering. And this would have been an altar offering, with the temple standing, with the Levitical priest in attendance. Joshua himself had not shed his own blood. So don't think that we have to set up an altar today and, you know, give offering, you know, physical sacrifices. It's not appropriate for us, because Joshua is the Passover sacrifice. And while this account speaks of when you yourselves have offended, there is also a way to deal with those who do the offending. Matthew 18, 15 through 17. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. Sometimes we don't want to talk about the elephant in the room, but it can help us emotionally and mentally if we do speak up about certain things that we find occurring. Something that can offend something that can offend Yahweh is not to speak up when we should. And so we are to speak up to a brother or sister who is offending or is having a difficulty in some sort of sin or is directly against us. But Matthew 18, 15 through 17, if your brother sins or sister, go to him or her in his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother, but if he does not listen to you, take one or two or more with you, so that the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the assembly. And if he refuses to listen even to the assembly, tell it or let him be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. So there's a number of steps here. You go to the brother or sister in private, talk to them, work things out. If that doesn't work, then you bring in a witness or two, and then you have more to help and also bear witness of what's going on. They're not to bear witness first. You don't go to the others first and then go to the other individual in private. You go to the individual in private and then go. If that doesn't work, then you bring others in. And this helps stop gossip. This helps stop backbiting and the type of things that Yahweh doesn't like and doesn't want to see among his people. But this is a directive from Messiah on how to reconcile with one another. And in the case of one acknowledging their trespass, then we have a responsibility to forgive. So how many times, we may ask? Well, Peter asks the question already for us. Matthew 18, 21 through 22. Then Peter came and said to him, Master, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. Joshua said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 77 times seven. So in other words, seven times 70, 490 times, a way of saying, don't stop forgiving if the brother or sister repents, apologizes, say they're sorry, etc., etc. And when does that not apply? Is there a time when that doesn't apply? Well, when they no longer seek to be forgiven, when they no longer say they're sorry, when they no longer apologize. And he gets into a willful sinning or defiant turning away to do evil, essentially rejecting Yahweh's way of life. 1 John 5:16, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and Elohim will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make requests for this. There's only so much we can do, but when we have the opportunity, we are to take it. That is, help where we can, pray when we can, live Yahweh's way of life, always, as much as is possible with us, and it is because Yahweh is with us if we continue to overcome to do his will. Galatians 6, 1 through 2. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking towards to yourself, so that you will not also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, thereby fulfilling the law of Yahweh. Well, what's the law of Messiah? What's the law of Messiah? Well, the law of Messiah is one of laying down your life for one another. And that's something that he gave as a new command, saying that we should do it as he has done it. And so But it doesn't, you know, doesn't go outside of what has already been said, because the instructions have been given to us so that we are good towards Yahweh, that we are good towards our fellow man. And again, we do this in person, if at all possible. You know, the way things are now, people communicate by text, they communicate by phone, they communicate by email. You know, in the future, in the kingdom, we hope to be there as spirit beings. They'll most likely be thought transfer, things that we don't fully comprehend at this time. But we see a lot of people not really communicating very well today. Kids growing up with headphones on all the time. They don't really say too much. They'll text each other. So we're losing a bit of cohesiveness in society because of that. When we look at society, we see it's getting worse and worse. Well, there's reasons for that. And technology, I think, is to blame in part. But ultimately, that blame goes to Satan because of introducing sin in the world. 1 Corinthians 14:33, "For Elohim is not an Elohim of confusion, but of peace, as is all the assemblies of the saints." And this is the way it should be. But he's telling those in Corinth, and they were one of the most messed up assemblies that we know of. But there are others. When you read into Revelation, you see a couple of the assemblies there having some really blasphemous type doctrines. And they were given time to repent, to get their act together. And certainly Paul was compassionate for those at Corinth, trying to help them as much as he could. And they had all sorts of problems. I mean, I remember writing a laundry list in my Bible, chapters 1-4, he was addressing, you know, who to follow, because they were saying, well, you know, I follow this person, I follow that person. We're to be following the Messiah. I talked about adultery, which was an issue at that time for the brethren. It's talking about litigation, marriage, sacrifices to idols, head coverings, Passover, spiritual gifts, tongues, resurrection. Had to talk about a number of things, but note that they are all doctrine-oriented. These are teachings that were taken out of Scripture. Ultimately, the Messiah is taught as well. So you find some commentaries talking about doctrine as being what the Messiah taught. Well, what did the Messiah teach? He taught Yahweh's Word. So, I mean, ultimately, it doesn't take too much to put two and two together. But there are a number of scriptures concerning relationships and I think in the New Testament we find more from the Messiah, more from Paul in different areas, even in marriage, knowing not to marry outside of the body. That in itself helps to prevent problems. And that's what Paul was wanting to do. He's wanting to prevent problems. The Messiah was wanting to prevent problems. That's why he gave instructions on how to deal with problems so that they could be dealt with. And between two individuals, not between 20 or 30 individuals, because when gossip gets out, it goes to a number of people. And we're not to be that way. So if there is anything that comes up, we should be able to deal with it according to the way the Messiah instructed, the way Paul instructed, the way the others instructed, the other apostles. Matthew 7:3-5, Yahshua has an analogy that gets the point across. "Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take out the log of your own eye, and then you will see clearly how to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do we understand what this is saying? I think we clearly understand what this is saying. Do we have our own act together? And if we don't, we shouldn't be going around acting like we do, or telling others what we see in their life that we think should be corrected. We need to correct ourselves, and we need to help one another, ideally, but we need to be aware of just how to do that. Again, it comes down to being humble, being like a child, approaching with a good attitude. And this is something that we're helped with by the Spirit of Yahweh, because it does help us to approach and not be offended. And of course, love is not easily offended, but sometimes we get offended, sometimes we get angry, sometimes we don't like what we hear, sometimes we want to say a few things, sometimes we do say a few things. We're growing. We have human nature. We don't always say or do or write or text the right things. Sometimes we shouldn't say anything at all, and that would be better than saying some things that are out of tune with what Yahweh would have of us. Being aware and acknowledging obvious problems in our own lives will automatically help us in dealing with others down the road. What other wisdom is there that can help us? Well, I remember a minister one time expressing that a lady had come up to him and started speaking against someone else. And he paused and said, "Well, I'm sorry, but I've never heard that other person say anything bad about you, or something negative against you." And it was to get the other person to think about what they were doing. I mean, they're actually going and tattletaling or expressing things that they shouldn't have been. They should have gone directly to the brother or sister and dealt with it as we're instructed. Matthew 10:16 says, "Be wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove." Philippians 4:5-9 says, "Let your gentleness be known to all men," or to all. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us to be ready to give an answer. Well, how are we ready to give an answer? Well, we study, and we learn, and we communicate with one another, and we practice. We are living in the Spirit, in the truth, in the love of Yahweh, ultimately. And when there are difficulties with ourselves, for example, health problems, I mean, that can actually help us. Paul had that thorn in his flesh. It was something that allowed the Messiah to be stronger within him. And that's something that he acknowledged and finally said, "Okay, well then, then I'll be glad and happy in that." And so he found himself being, in whatever state he found himself in, being content and being able to help others. And one thing that he did do was to be as others. In that respect, he would lower himself, he would raise himself. He would try to meet eye to eye with whoever he was talking to. He went in and talked to those that were philosophers and wanted not knowledge. They were Gnostics. And he proclaimed to them the Elohim of Isaac and Jacob, going back to Abraham. But there are certain ways to approach people, ourselves, others. And we need to learn and put these things into practice. And I think that's one of the reasons we're called to gather. We're not to forsake the gathering of ourselves together, because it gives us an opportunity to be on our best behavior and practice the things we find in Scripture. And it's a blessing to go over the Word in Bible study, listening to, I'm listening to this as much as you're listening to it. And I'm trying to grow as you're trying to grow and learn the things that are pleasing to the Father. Because ultimately, eternity with the Father and with the Son is where we want to be, and with the other brethren. So we get the opportunity to overcome in this life and carry over the character traits that Yahweh would have of us. Not the bad stuff. That stuff's going to be burned up. So as I think it was Peter said, what kind of people should we be knowing these things are coming? To be a loving people, kind, gentle, merciful. And we're to build up one another. And we're to reach out and help others to learn of this way, Yahweh's way. And we're to follow in it, just as the Messiah set the example. Hallelujah.